Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
G'day, mate.
Oh, I have a terrible Australian accent. Never mind.
You know what's so crazy? When I got there, I was like, so where are you guys' accents? And everybody was like, yeah, no one really talks like that quite. It definitely has, like, you know, you hear like a little undertone of that, but the typical Australian doesn't, for as far as what folks told me, their accent is not quite that thick and heavy. That's just extra exaggerated. Or there's certain, I guess it's like more... less cosmopolitan, that accent, you know?
Yeah. That's really disappointing, though. They don't all sound like Steve Irwin.
Right? Crocodile Dundee. I was waiting. Put some shrimp on the Bobby. They were like, no.
Don't embarrass yourself.
I know. I had an awesome time. I mean, so I went to Australia because I had an awesome opportunity. Drina, who is my awesome publicist, but also my BFF, her client, her name is Patrice Cullors, and Patrice is one of the co-founders. There's three women that founded Black Lives Matter. A woman named Oprah, a woman named Alicia, and Patrice. And so the Sydney Peace Prize, which is super prestigious. I mean, people, amazing people have won that Peace Prize. They decided to honor the Black Lives Matter network. And like, that's what, you know, so one of the founders was able to make it. And so she came to accept the Peace Prize on behalf of Black Lives Matter. So that was just really awesome to kind of see that and kind of see, you know, what that movement looked like from behind the scenes. And it was really, really interesting to meet, you know, a co-founder. I mean, Patrice is just so chill and down to earth and fun. But to actually see her doing the work, like we'd go to her hotel room, we'd be hanging out, but then a crisis would happen and you would see her enter like organizer mode. This is what we need to do, you know. So it was just really... honestly, the work that she and the whole network are doing is nothing short of amazing on behalf of all brown people. So yeah, that's
major. That's,
yeah, it was huge. Honestly, it was such a pleasure because it was like I got to see like touristy Sydney, but then I also got to see this other side. Like they went to go visit like different Aboriginal camps and like, you know, like, so what's happening here with your brown people? How can we, you know, be of service to that? How, you know, what do you want us to share with our brown folks of what's happening here? I didn't realize that less than 3% of Australia's population is brown. And it wasn't until, like, I didn't really notice as much because I grew up in, like, an all-white town. But it wasn't until, like, Drina kept saying, she's like, we're, like, literally the only black people in the airport. I was like, no, we're not. Yes, we are. That happened every single place we went. Literally not one brown face. I was actually pretty surprised. You know, I didn't, because Sydney is, it's like clean New York. So it's pretty cosmopolitan, very little diversity by way of brownness. So there were definitely a lot of Asian. So there was a lot of Chinese, Thai, but as far as like Aboriginal or black folks or whatever, there was next to nothing.
Well, the country did a really good job of like exterminating.
Yeah.
That population of Aboriginals. So I'm sure they're like, yeah, we know.
That was a hard conversation to hear about over and over again. Like, because we would go to these different events where they were honoring her and then kind of like sharing their story of what's happening to them there. And it sounds, honestly, it's the same treatment here that brown folks get. And you're just like, wow, what is that? That, you know, what is that? That, I don't know. What is it that it causes folks to treat brown folks in a way, and to hear like the police brutality stories, dying in custody stories. A young driver killed three Aboriginal kids, and they blame the kids that were killed. Like, oh, they shouldn't have been in the way. I mean, it's, yeah. Honestly, at the end, I told Patrice, I don't even know how. It was too much. There were times when I was like, I'm not going to go to that event. Because it was too much emotionally. I don't know how she carries all of that with her. I don't know how, honestly. Like, it's heartbreaking. It's soul breaking. And I told her that she and her team are uniquely qualified to do the work because I do the work, but not in that way. I could not take on all of that. It's too much.
I think it takes a really special human, like the same types of humans who do social work.
Yes.
Or anywhere where you're just like inundated with these horrific situations where children and people who are like marginalized and don't have rights and their human rights are being taken away from them like all the time. It takes a real special person. I'm glad for those types of people.
Yeah. So that part was cool.
So about the kangaroos.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So I told myself, cause it was like, cause I, what I tried to do was like, cause I did a lot of stuff, you know, Drina was off working with Patrice and her team. And so I had a lot of like alone time, which I totally did love because, you know, I don't know, I love solo travel. And so I was like, ooh, so every day I try to choose like something really fun and different and epic to do. And so I had not, Drina would not allow me to go to the zoo without her. She said, everything else you could do without me, but if you go to that zoo and I'm not with you and I see social media, and I was like, darn it. So it was literally the day before we were going to leave and it started to rain. I said, Drina, we're going to the freaking zoo. She was like, oh, it's raining. No, we're going to the zoo. So we went to the zoo and it was everything and more. The kangaroos were, they allow you to get really close. Like people were like, petting them. I was like, yeah, I'm not about that life, but to see them hopping, yes, you could get like, they were, I don't know, like this was honestly one of the best zoos I'd ever seen. It wasn't huge, but the animals were like in like, basically like open spaces. And those animals that were kind of like, you know, not anti-human, you were kind of allowed to like mix and mingle with them. It was very like weird, but very cool. So the kangaroos were just hopping in front of you. People were putting their hands out and they nuzzle your hand like, no food, get away from me. And I was like, ah, I want to touch one, but I'm scared. But they were magnificent. And to see them hopping, there was one in particular that was like, oh, you're just showing off. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then the koalas, they didn't let you get too close to koalas because I heard they say like the koalas could be like, not today, not tomorrow night.
I've seen ever. Really scary videos of koalas.
Yeah. So we were kind of like away, like, oh, hey, koala in the tree, looking cute, but I'm not getting close. So, but giraffes, like the chimpanzees were like, while and they were introducing some new chimpanzees to them. So they were like, we don't even know you. Why are you here? So they were screaming and hooping and hollering, which was awesome. The gorillas, honestly, it was an awesome, awesome zoo because it wasn't huge, but it was really well curated. So it was, and even though, and I, it was good. She was like, honestly, the zoo personnel person that was like kind of touring us was like rainy day. Cause it wasn't super rainy. It was more like, less than rain. It was more like drizzling. She was like, these are days that are the best days because it tends to get really hot in Australia and the animals don't want to come out. The animals always have a choice of going into their kind of like whatever kind of shelter that they have on their piece of the zoo. And so when she's like, when it's really hot, they won't come out. They'll just hang out in their shelter. She sees that they like these overcast, drizzly days. So all of the animals were out like, hey, boo. So it was awesome.
What did you do? Any like, what was like a splurge that you made while in Australia?
Honestly, everything's a freaking splurge. Sydney is expensive as all hell. I was like, oh, New York, is this you? Like an egg sandwich was like $15. And I'm like, what the heck? Everything, the food, that was our biggest splurge. Like, and it wasn't even that we ate fancy. It was just, there are no cheap eats in central Sydney where we were. So that was, the zoo wasn't cheap, so that was kind of a splurge. Everything else, honestly, like the tourist stuff that we did wasn't super, like I always do the big red bus. I love doing that the first day so you can kind of see all the sights. That's not cheap, but that wasn't super expensive. I would say even the opera house was actually, it was free for the most part. And then we took a tour, which was like, I don't know, $20, which was worth it. But definitely.
Was it everything you expected, the opera house?
Inside, yes. The outside, like I said, I was kind of like, yeah, it's not white. Like we got up close, I was like, this is tannish. But it's
I think it's, so it, I, what is it, the lights they shine on it?
No, it's the tile, the special made tile for the opera house on the outside, that when the sun hits it, the tile reflects white. But up close, the tile is more of like an off-white. So it's not this glimmering, super crisp white thing that you would think, but it looks like that from afar. So it's like really beautiful when you take pictures from afar. But up close, it's kind of like, oh, this is cute off-white tile. You know, off-white is kind of like, it doesn't have that kind of ooh-ah feel. But in pictures, yeah. Like I said, it looks amazing. But the opera house on the inside is absolutely amazing. We took a tour about how it was built. It was a great. I'm kind of like a, when I go to a country or a city, I kind of like to know, learn more about the history of how and why and stuff like that. So that was cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, that was my life adventure. Like, it was everything and more. I'm glad to be home. Like, I was so glad to lay in my bed. Like, hey, bed, I missed you. Hey, Superman, I missed you too.
I had an exciting time. I mean, you know, life went on while you were on the other side of the world. Lots of stuff happened. Well, we were just in Savannah. I went back to Savannah. I just can't quit it. This time I got tricked into going back. I got back. Well, one of our girlfriends asked if I wanted to do another half marathon. I had done one a couple of years ago and had a really great experience, and I did really well. And I always wanted to do another one. And this girlfriend, you know, back in May or June was like, yeah, let's do the Savannah Marathon. This is awesome. And like, when I say I'm going to do something, I'm like, and the tickets are bought, the hotel reservation is made. I hope you don't take, and hope it's no take backsies on this whole plan. And I really commit anyway. So she has, anyway, so for various reasons, she had to back out on the half marathon, which was a bummer. So I ended up running it by my lonesome, which is fine. It wasn't that, but the thing is, like, I was kind of, it's just been so crazy that I didn't train as well as I did for my first half marathon. Mm-hmm. Like, I went down there having only run, so half marathon is 13.1 miles, and I only run 6 miles as my longest race or my longest run before going down. So I was really, I wasn't like nervous, but I was telling myself, like, yeah, I'm just going to stop at 6 miles and go get brunch. And this is silly.
No, you didn't.
And this is going to be a half marathon and ha ha ha, whatever. But then, of course, like, when I get there and like, there's just like, when you, if you've ever done like a race, like I've done a triathlon and half marathons, like, these are just the happiest freaking people, because it's like all the endorphins, yeah. And they're all hopped up on energy, sports drinks and stuff, and like everything is just so infectious. And I was like, I can do this, and I ended up running the entire thing and finishing, and I have no idea where I pulled it out of. But
congratulations!
Thank you. So
no, I saw the pics. I didn't realize that was Savannah. I love Savannah.
Yeah, man. Went back, and we were just there for a couple of days, but it was painful. I've been like recovering, because I mean, I finished, but I like, my legs, I was like the one hobbling through the airport on the way back. I could like hardly get up and down, but just makes me want to do another one. And then I came back early Sunday because I wanted to watch the New York City Marathon, like the real marathon. Because one of my our cousin, I just claim the cousins as my cousins now. my beloved cousin Isora did the New York City Marathon, and it was amazing. So I always love to like spectate, because that is, I don't know, that something about the New York City Marathon, it just feels like an 8-hour parade in New York City. It's so much fun.
I've heard, I saw like some videos of people posting, and Elaine Wentworth, something like that. She's a head Negro in charge.
Head bitch in charge?
No, but she's literally like, and I don't want to refer to you as bitch, Elaine, but she's the
editor in chief.
EIC, but I almost said H whatever I see, which is the head Negro in charge, but I meant to say EIC, the editor in chief. Editor in chief. I'm sorry, guys. I literally am hopped up on. It's 11 o'clock in Australia. So anyway, I saw.
I think I made it worse.
But I saw her videos, and it was like, she was there, and it was just amazing. Like, the energy, people were playing, like, there was jazz being played, live music, kids dancing, people hugging. Like, it just, I didn't realize that it's one of those times that the city really gets together, you know?
And I think it was like, less than a week after that, the terrorist attack last week, that it really, it felt more important than ever to go out there and and show that New York spirit. Were you talking about Elaine Wentworth from Teen Vogue?
Yes,
that's what I meant. Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry, Elaine. Chief. Yes.
She's amazing. She's fabulous.
She is amazing. I feel like she would think that that was hilarious. I'm like, shout out to Teen Vogue. I know. Ah, ciao. Oh my gosh. Okay. So, any other new? I mean, there's so much going on. I'm like, what?
We have to talk about tax reform. Have to.
Do we have to?
Okay, I'll do it. I'll do the talking if you want.
I'll nod.
Because I know, well, tax reform, yeah, because the Republicans finally put out their tax reform bill, and there's a lot of stuff in there that could impact people and your money. They're coming for your money. And so I think it's important to talk about it. This is a tax reform plan that has just been put out. They haven't actually voted to pass it yet. I think it's with the Senate right now, or sorry, the House, and then it goes to the Senate, but they're hoping to pass it by Christmas. But there's a lot of stuff in here that could impact people. Like, they are changing like the income tax brackets, and I won't take too much time like going in to explain them. Of course, as we do, we have a great graphic I can share from Magnify Money that shows you exactly what's changing with the tax brackets. But you can see they've gone from 7 tax brackets to just 4. And for some people, that means you're going to be paying more in taxes. And for some people, it means paying less. But some people are losing and some people are winning. And then they're getting rid of some tax deductions. So, of course, when you cut taxes, you have to make up for the lost revenue somehow. And that generally means, on the flip side, they're going to remove some tax breaks that people get, especially in the middle class. So things like mortgage interest tax deduction is going to be out of off the table.
Wow.
Deduct your mortgage interest. That's not eliminated. It's altered. So for newly purchased home, the home mortgage interest deduction is lowered to $500,000. Right now it's up to $1 million. Home values. They're going to reduce the amount you can deduct for medical expenses. So like right now, if you have medical bills that are over like 10% of your income, you can deduct those expenses, but that's being reduced. Reduced or eliminated. Student loan interest rate deduction is being eliminated under tax reform. So,
Right. As if student loans are not a headache enough.
Yeah, so that's a $2,500 tax break that's going to be eliminated if this goes into effect. What else? In a lot of states, like, you know, you pay your state and local income taxes. The Republican tax plan would end the deduction for state and local income taxes. So in states like New York and California, where we pay really high state and local income taxes, this plan would no longer allow you to make to claim those as deductions on your taxes. So just some little nuggets. Do I have any good news to share from?
I was going to say.
It's not all bad. I don't want to be biased. So one of the things, the positive side of things, is that they're not messing with our 401k contribution limits. Like, I think we talked about that. There were these rumors that they were going to reduce it from 18,000 to 2,500 or something, but they're not touching it. So that's still going to be there. And the child tax credit has been expanded. So you can now, the child tax credit is up to $1,600 per dependent for parents. It's also going to add a $300 tax credit if you care for a dependent parent, like someone like a grandfather or a dependent relative who's not a child, which I think, you know, is good, especially for families who don't just have children who depend on them. Let's see. And I guess it's good news. I mean, you can take a look at this graph. I mean, so right now, if you're in the, like, I'll just give an example. So right now, the 28% and 25% tax brackets have been combined into one single 25% tax bracket. So if you're on the higher end of that, in the 28% tax bracket, your taxes may be lowered. And then if you're in the 25, then they won't be changed at all. That's just one example.
Okay.
And that is your tax brief, but it's important. So if you hate this and you want to tell your elected officials, you should absolutely do that, because Trumpito is pushing them to give us a Christmas tax reform bill. So, and actually pass this sucker. So speak now or forever hold your peace.
I see. Like I see when I see as far as they have a business side to this tax reform. Like I'm just like looking permanently lower the top corporate tax rate to 20% from its current 35%. How convenient. I'm not surprised by that. I was wondering. I'm like, well, how does this affect like corporate organizations? Like why should corporations pay less taxes? That doesn't make any sense to that. You know, to me.
I mean, that's like the Republicans have been asking for this for so long. Yeah, I didn't even talk about the corporate side of things, but definitely. I mean, that's the GOP platform. Like, they want to lower taxes for businesses, and they say that when businesses pay less taxes, they will have more they'll have more room to hire more people, and it'll help employment. It's a whole trickle down economics.
I was going to say that President Reagan proved it's bull because it did not happen.
But doesn't it sound good? It sounds just great. And of course, the estate tax. So you may have heard of that, but that's basically it's a rich people's tax because it's basically an tax on a giant inheritance. So it's people who are leaving large sums of money to their heirs. And with the tax reform bill, they're going to be doubling this estate tax exemption to nearly $11 million and eventually getting rid of it altogether. So that's one more perk for the super rich, is that they won't have to pay taxes on their giant bequeathments, if that's a word.
I mean, some of it for businesses. I mean, like, I own a business, so I'm like definitely like I can appreciate some things, but at the same time, I don't mind paying what I should pay so other people can be better. Like one thing I see that I do kind of like is that allowing businesses to immediately write off the cost of new equipment rather than depreciating the value. So for example, I bought a car. That car that I bought like a couple months ago. And so I bought it under my business name, but it's not like I get to write off the full $22,000. Like instead you have to like write it a little bit off a year or something to that effect. Like my accountant was telling me that it's not like, woo, you know, like it's slowly but surely you have to depreciate the value of the item. And I'm like, oh, it would be nice to make it simple. Like, hey, you bought this thing, it's written off. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he's able to pass some sort of legislation. I guess we'll see.
It sounds like there's some good stuff. I mean, like with any, this is a huge deal because there hasn't been tax reform for like what, 3 decades now. So it's a huge deal, and it's not, I mean, I feel like some people may win, some are definitely going to lose. I don't know.
For sure.
This feels like, whereas they've really failed to repeal Obamacare, this feels like the kind of thing where they might actually succeed.
Changes. Yeah.
What else? It's open enrollment season. If you have Obamacare or any health plan, it's open enrollment season for. I have to get on my. I'm not going to miss the window this time. You know how we missed the window.
Yes,
last time. Get on that good government insurance for my husband's insurance. So anyway, I don't know if I feel like the windows get shorter every year. Like our company only gave us 10 business days, I think, to pick a plan and get everything settled. And the Obamacare enrollment period also is a lot shorter this year. You only have until December 15th, and they're not doing the extended windows like they did before, where you could, I think they used to be able to pick a plan as late as like the end of February, maybe March 1st even. But so if you have Obamacare, you need to sign up December 15th.
There's some great tools you can use. Like there's a tool, it's free called Policy Genius. I remember like I used that the last time that I signed up. What I liked about it is that, because I'm not gonna lie, the whole the website for healthcare.gov or whatever was confusing. And so Policy Genius, they don't sell health insurance. It was just, it made it easy because I just kind of put in what I needed and they're like, okay, girl, this is the 3 policies you should look into. And when you clicked on it, it took me to where that was on the website. You see what I mean? So I liked it because it was just an easy tool to kind of help me navigate when I was feeling confused, you know?
Yeah, that's a great tool.
Yeah.
I remember signing up for my dad. Well, on the sad and bright side, a lot of health insurers have been exiting the markets in some states. So some people may not even have that many options to choose from. Which on the one hand makes things easier, but on the other hand may make it that your plans are more expensive because when there's less competition, plans premiums tend to be more expensive. So pros and cons. But another thing is that the Trump administration has really slashed the budget for those healthcare navigators, like the people that you could call and they would help you, like they were trained to help you pick the right plan, like for Obamacare.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of states, like in some states, they don't have any at all because they keep slashing the budget. Of course, you know, they don't care about Obamacare. They want it to fail. So they're doing everything they can to not help people have a successful time, like including not advertising like as heavily as they used to do for Obamacare to like raise awareness.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen hardly any
at all. Remember there was like supposed to be a Super Bowl ad and they pulled it.
Wow.
Last year. So it's all that much harder, but I'm going to send me that link to that Policy Genius tool and I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be good. Cause like I said, I liked it because it was super, you know what? I should email it to the, it just like reminded me, cause I send like, you know, weekly emails when I remember to the Dreamcatchers, and around the same year, I sent it to them as here's a free, awesome resource because so many of us were confused about how to sign up. And I tried it. And actually, I had my sister sign up and I said, was it easy? Because I was like trying to test it out on baby Lisa. She was like, yeah, so easy. So yeah, I'll definitely send you a link to use it.
And this is your first year. You're not on Obamacare anymore, right?
For the first time, I'm like, cause at first I was like, oh yeah. I'm like, wait, I have built-in insurance. I told my husband he can never quit his job. Never ever. All right, so this is kind of random. So for those women who are I had to make a decision. So I've been telling you guys about my fibroids and whatever, so I'm moving down the path toward surgery. Will happen around February, and so I don't know if you had to make choices like this between your business and your career and like, you know, your personal, well, obviously we all have to make those choices, but I got this amazing opportunity to speak at this like 4-day women's conference in Marrakesh, Morocco. And it's like all inclusive, you know, they're paying and then they're paying like flight, hotel, like food, everything. And I was like, oh my God, I want to do it. And it's in February, which is when I'm supposed to have my fibroid surgery. And so I felt like I was being tested. And I was like, Tiffany! Of course, my natural knee-jerk reaction was like, I'm going to Morocco. But I was just like, ugh. But then, like, I'm 38, and I'm just like, when do you make time and space, you know? And so I just wonder if our readers tweet me or tweet Brown Ambition or Facebook us, like, about, like, you know, what decisions have you made? It's hard now when it's not just you making decisions, like separating like your career and your business, or, you know, and then making this like, cause this would be an amazing opportunity, but at the same time, at what cost to my personal like life and goals. And so it's just been not an easy, I'm not going to lie, I'm still vacillating, even though 80% of me is like, girl, you're going to stay here behind home. Cause I already told Superman, he was like, oh, sounds cute, but you'll be here. And usually he's like really like open, but he was like, babe, like, you've been to Morocco before. Meanwhile, I've been to Morocco. It's not that I haven't been. I was like, I know, but this is like a different.
Kind of sounds but people deciding whether or not to do drugs. Like, how does this play into my overall plan for my life? Feels good
I know, but then at what cost? Because it's like, if I keep pushing it back and pushing it back, because, you know, because it's not just having one. Because from what I understand, like, I've been talking to my doctor, get your surgery, but it's about 6 weeks that you're kind of like out of commission, you know? And so, well, at least 6 weeks that you're not able to leave the house, or at least the first 2 weeks, and then another 4 weeks of like kind of like recovery. So that part I'm not too worried about because I don't leave the house anyway, except for like to travel for business. But it's like, well, Tiffany, and then after that, there's actually like, you know, like trying to have the baby. And so it's just, there's just a lot of shifting that's going to have to happen. And I'm like, ugh, I'm wondering like how women who are like really like, okay, like go hard for their career or their business, but also want to have a family. How do you like navigate those things? Cause I'm not going to lie. I'm worried about like, so let's just say all good news. Surgery goes well. I get pregnant next year. Wait, I have two businesses working on the third. How does that all work? So I'm not going to lie, more than a little bit nervous. So I'd be curious for our listeners to kind of give their 2 cents of what they have done to, like, I watched Drina and she actually has done such an incredible job, but it's hard for her. She has a 2-year-old and she runs her own company and she travels a lot. She travels more than I do. And so it's hard you know, her navigating that. So I would just wonder, like, what does that look like? What do you do? What are some things I could put in place now? You know, for those of you women who are like, you know, super career focused and business focused. So yeah, tweet. What's our Twitter again?
At the BA Podcast.
Mm-hmm. At the BA Podcast. So you can tweet me at the Budgetista or send us a Facebook message, you know, because we sometimes the other part of the BA Podcast, we're, you know, aside from personal finance, is like career and business. And so I know some of you guys, most of us, I'm sure if most of y'all are working. And so what does that look like if you're already a mom or your mom to be or you're planning to be a mom? Like, what are some things that you have planned in order to what or some things you've done that have been successful helping you make the transition?
So that's it. Yeah, I have no, I can't help you there. All I will say is that there, I don't know, just have the baby and figure it out. Like, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Right? I'll be like, Mandy, wait, the baby's crying in the background. Hold on, girl. Trying to tape our podcast.
One of my really good friends just had a baby. Congrats, Kristen. Her name's Rhea. She's a little Halloween baby.
That's a cute name, Rhea.
Yeah, Rhea. Yeah, and I don't know, man. She had to do it. She only gets very limited, like, maternity leave because she's a nurse. Okay. And I think it's like 10 weeks because she hasn't been there a full year yet. So it's just the bare minimum of whatever the federal leave act like requires. And I don't know. Thank God her husband works for Etsy, which is like this, you know what Etsy is. But they have like a really liberal like 6 month family leave policy like for mothers and fathers. So it's like an interesting like flip. Usually it's the mom taking off the most time, but it looks like her husband might have to take off more time, and they're just kind of like figuring it out as they go.
Yeah. And I guess that's parenthood, figuring it out as you go. Yeah. You know? And it forces you to really prioritize, because from what I can see, like of like the new moms that I know, they're like, "Girl, I don't have time for what? That." Like, you know, like really prioritizing your time and your energy and your space. So yeah. Oh, good news about the house though. I'm supposed to be closing on the 28th.
This has been a long process.
What? I feel like I have been the poster child of how in the hell is this long to buy a house.
Yeah.
So yeah. Because you know what? It's been so crazy. I mean, just in general, not just even this particular house, like just the house buying search and process. And so apparently when you buy a foreclosure, it's very common to have little glitches and hiccups along the way. The city of Newark is becoming more and more digital. So as a result, some of the processes weren't fully fleshed out. Like, so we had to get a CO, which is a certificate of occupancy, which basically says this house is safe. You can sell it. And so they had it online that only the seller could apply and pick up the CO, but the seller is a bank in the Midwest. So that doesn't even make sense. And so we kept pushing the city of Newark, like, you know, it's impossible. So literally anyone who's has a foreclosed property and the it's not a person is not going to be able to sell their house. And so it was a few weeks of confusion. So they finally, the city of Newark realized, oops. So now if you go online now, you have to get the CO. One, they're allowing the buyer to apply for it. Or if you are a seller that's, you know, like a bank or it's a foreclosed property, you could go about it a different way. So that was literally the only thing holding us up, is we have to get this piece of paper that you get once you, apparently with a CO, you have people from the city come, like you have to fire people, some other code people to say, this house is not, there's no risk in living in this house. Yes, the house can change hands. So that's what we've been waiting on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And so finally we applied. In the next couple of weeks, we'll have the fire people and the other inspection people come out to certify the house is indeed safe. And then we close on the 28th of November, right after Thanksgiving, which I think is very appropriate. So I'm super duper excited. But quiet as it's kept, though, we halfway moved in. Because, like, we got the keys.
You're already moving in?
No, but it's funny because, like, Superman has gotten, we have, like, all this, like, stuff. Like, we're like, so he's gone there already, cleaned out some things, moved it, because it's still, like, people's stuff in there. So, like, put some of our things in there. I'm like, we haven't even bought the house yet. He was like, the bank is in the Midwest. What are they going to do? And so, yeah, we've been very, very, very disrespectful with their time and been like, whatever, this is our house. So I'm just excited that it's finally, like I could see the light at the end of the tunnel. Cause I really was like, I just want to give a shout out to my, my girl Amina, who has been the most amazing realtor. She is a fighter. I mean, they literally changed the policy because of how much she fought. And so like the city of Newark, like this doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So she has been going so hard. There's very few people that I meet in business and in life that go above and beyond. And when you meet someone like that, it's like, you know, meeting a unicorn. Amina is like five unicorns. She is like 5'4" and like 80 pounds soaking wet. And Amina, meanwhile, has five kids all under the age of 7. And this woman is a powerhouse. And she's a young woman. She's in her 30s, like, you know.
Under the age of 7? Hold on a second.
Yes. Five kids under the
age of 7. All right, you need to ask her for advice. Why are you asking?
I know. Yeah, I should. And they're so, like, I've been to her house. And those kids, they're so beautiful. She's got such a beautiful family. But typically, you would think, there's no way. How is she going to be able to manage all of these? Because I'm not, obviously, her only client. But she does. And she is amazing. Amazing. People ask me, oh, can you share? The answer is no. No, I always ask Amina. She's like, I don't take on too many clients, obviously, because her kids come first. But when you find the right person to help you with your search, like, she's made magic happen. So, yeah, I just want to give her a little shout, Amina. And thank you for just making this impossible process possible. She said, oh, no, we got to get you a house. So.
Awesome. All right. Thanksgiving miracle.
Yes.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brand Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access, wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
So brown boost, brown break, what you gonna do? Boost or break? Am I gonna come for you? Are you gonna boost or are you gonna break?
I'm gonna take a boost. Okay. An opportunity to boost. I don't think I've boosted Ally Bank in a long time.
Ooh.
But I need to give them a shout out. I feel like weirdly loyal to Ally Bank for my savings. What is it about them? Is it like the purple color? Is it those delicious? Is it the cookies that they put out at conferences that just taste so good? Like, what is it? But it came to mind because my little brother, I've been helping him with his, like, ugh, and he listens to the podcast now, so now I gotta watch my mouth. But anyway, he had asked me for help finding an online savings account, and he's like, okay, well, based on the top 5 online rates right now, Ally isn't number 1. And I'm like, yeah, but it's like number 3. And I've been with it for so long and I just feel this inexplicable tie to it. And I don't mind the fact that it's like 0.1%, like less than some other online savings options out there. I think it's still a great bank. And one thing I'll say is, like, for the last 6 months, there's been this, like, as rates have been rising incrementally, all over the board, like, these online savings banks online banks have, like, been really competing. And I feel like every other month there's been an email saying, we raised our rate, like, a little bit at a time. And Ally has been there ratcheting up its rate a little bit at a time as the competitors have been raising their rates. So I feel good about, like, hanging out. But it's just, if you're stuck with, like, a crappy brick and mortar bank, like Bank of whatever, and you're making like 0.00000 negative money on your savings, like, there's no excuse anymore. Like, online banks have proven that they are reliable, that they're not going anywhere. Your money is insured. You should take the time and transfer your money to your savings, your, you know, your savings, especially to a high yield savings account. There's just no reason not to. And I like Ally, but there's Charles Schwab, there's Goldman Sachs. I think my brother went with Synchrony, has an online bank account. There's a lot of other options now, like way more than there used to be. Like when I first opened mine several years ago. So that's my shout out. I mean, yes, my boost.
When I got that email, I was like, woohoo, more money. Definitely. That was awesome. I want to take a break from American Airlines. Yes, I said it. thank you for making the most stressful trip home. It just was crazy. Like, I will say this, though. I'll do a break and a boost. American Airlines, you're trash. Because there is nothing more heartbreaking than deporting a plane twice. You get on the plane, you're like, yes, I'm about to go home. Last leg of this long journey. You deboard because of whatever technical issues. And you're like, okay. No biggie. They're like, it's going to be a 2-hour wait, but then they cut it down to 1 hour. And you're like, woohoo, back on. And then you get on the plane, ready to go. And then they deboard you and say, oh, by the way, we're canceled. I wanted to, like, run through the plane screaming. But so it broke. Because I was like, it was literally my last. It was my third and final flight of the evening. So I honestly, I'm not going to lie, I started crying. I was so tired and frustrated. I was like, wait, I left Australia yesterday. I'm still traveling in these clothes. I have not taken a shower in like 14 hours. And I want to go home. And so.
You should have listened to the NAACP.
I know, right? But honestly, I booked this trip before all that. But yeah, so yes, American Airlines, you're trash. You get a brown break. But who does get a boost is I called because – so here's a little tip. If you ever have your flight canceled, do not wait in that long customer service line because by the time you get there, whatever flights that they're going to rebook you on have already been probably filled by the people before you. So instead, just call them. So I called American Airlines. And the first woman, she was really helpful, but she was like, oh, we could fly you into Newark tomorrow. I'm like, oh, because I'm going to sleep on the airplane floor. No. Then I call back and then the second woman was like, you know what? There's a flight into LaGuardia. And it lands at like, you know, it leaves in an hour. So she was so helpful. And she's like, what's your email address? And I told her the budgetnista at Gmail, which is like my personal email address. Do not email me. And she was like, budgetnista. She was a dream catcher. Her name was Shakira. And Shakira was so nice and friendly and accommodating. And I said, we ended up having a good kiki. And she was like, girl, I get your emails. You help me get my life together. Oh, my God. Aww. Yeah. And awesome. Honestly, I said, Shakira. Because by then I was still like a little wobbly in the voice. I said, I was about to light American Airlines on fire on social media. But because of you, girl, I'm going to wait till tomorrow. And she was rolling. And I was like, no, but honestly, I was really going to go to Twitter and like, you know, really like assault American Airlines in a nice, nasty way. Like, you know, like going through my time and my day with what American Airlines put me through. But because of Shakira, it put me in such a good space because she was, like I said, was so nice, so accommodating, was like, you know what? It took her a good 10 minutes to kind of like look through. She looked through every possible scenario and found me this one seat. I had to fly into LaGuardia, but such is life. And then she even said, like, you know, your Uber ride, here's a website that you go to send like proof and like, you know, explain what happened and to see if you can get your money back for the Uber ride. So Shakira, here's to you. You are brown ambition personified. And if I would have known, I wouldn't have thought about it. But I would have told her, girl, what's your email address? I'll send you like some swag or a book or something because she just was really excellent. So brown boost to you, Shakira. But the company you work for is a break today.
That's awesome. That was almost I'm gonna transition that to a boost actually because I actually had a happy ending. I'm upgrading. Yeah,
that's true. We're gonna upgrade. We're gonna, you know, let me upgrade. We're gonna come on, Shakira.
I don't got recognized by a airline attendant on the phone. That's like awesome.
Yeah, that was really awesome. I was like, Shakira. Girl,
I'm gonna use your email address next time I need to get change of flight. Yes, and it's the budgetista. Yes.
Yeah, that was definitely.
I sound different. Got a cold.
Oh my god! I'm sure we have some awesome questions from listeners.
Per use. Yeah, we have a couple of questions. I'll pull up right now. From the reader inbox. And if you have questions, you can email us at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com or go to brownambitionpodcast.com. Okay, come on. Thank you.
I know, right? Sorry. forgot. I was like, oh, wait, it's my turn.
Your .com is on Australian time.
Yes.
Yeah. So first question comes from, so one is a credit question. And then we have, which I think is a good credit question that people may not think to ask, but I thought that was good. And then another one on savings. So first question from listener Kai. She says, I recently obtained my first credit card, and I'm hoping you can help me understand how the timing of credit card payments plays into my credit card utilization rate and credit score. So here's my specific question. My credit card has a $300 limit, and as of today, my balance is $297.18. Eek! My payment due date is also today, but when I go to make a payment online, I'm given these options. Either pay the minimum payment of $20, pay the last statement the last statement balance of $193, or pay the entire current balance, which is $297. If my payment due date is today, should I pay the last statement balance or the total current balance? That is her question. And how will this impact? That's the first part of her question. So I just want to stop there. Because okay. I do think people may wonder, like, what's the difference? You know, statement balance, current balance, or minimum due. For me, I would say definitely the statement balance is what's most important. So that is what gets reported on your credit report. The reason your total balance is more than that is because your statement balance has a cutoff date whenever your statement ends, like the 15th of the month, the 14th or whatever. And at that point they say, okay, here's where the clock stops on your current bill for this statement period. And we're going to bill you for that amount. If you keep racking up charges, that'll add to your total balance. But that officially, that money that you're racking up now officially won't become due until your next statement ends.
Exactly.
So that's why it's really important to at least pay the statement balance off.
If you have the money to, like,
if you have the money to,
yeah,
which can be a good thing. Like, if you don't have necessarily enough money to cover your current balance, but your statement balance is enough, and you can cover that all in one fell swoop, then that's great.
That full balance though, it is like heart wrenching because you're like, ooh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
When you see the pending payment, you're like, oh man, those darn Ubers.
Oh my god, right?
Yeah. I also want to throw in that one of the reasons why I don't particularly like paying on the credit card website because of those kind of like limited choices. So I do bill pay. So you put in like your, because every major bank and even some non-major banks have automatic bill pay or just bill pay. So you go in, they ask you all these questions. And now because bill pay is not a new thing, they're linked to different companies. So if you have, you know, let's just say you have Wells Fargo or whatever, and your credit card is Chase, they talk to each other. And so Wells Fargo will actually know what your balance is. And so you can actually choose from the bill pay side how much you want to pay. So you might say, you know what, I don't want to pay the minimum of 20, but I don't want to pay the full amount of 197. Instead, I want to pay $75. Then if it's not giving you that choice on the credit card side, you can make that choice on the bill pay side from your bank. So typically I pay my credit card bill on my personal bank side. So I can decide how much I want to send versus kind of like being stuck to only pay whatever choices that the credit card company is giving me.
I didn't know that I didn't know that some credit cards didn't allow you to put your own amount,
yeah,
like specify.
I was surprised by
a
that
different too. Amount. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, definitely. That's a good way to get around that. I didn't know that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So her next question is, should I pay the amount on or before the payment due date? And how does the timing and amount paid affect my credit card utilization and or credit score?
I think the rule of thumb, it's not so much the due date. It's more so of the statement date, meaning like when the bill is issued, pay. Oh, so for example, I used to do this and it was a mistake. I wanted to show, hey, look, I'm making payments. So I would buy something and then literally go online and make the payment right then and there. That was not going to register with the credit bureau. That I had to learn that I had to wait. If the purpose for me was to register like my movements, my credit movements with the credit bureaus, I had to wait until I was actually issued the bill. You know, like, oh, here's your statement. It's due. And so it's not so much the due date. So it's like, oh, bill's been sent. Now you can pay. And so that's how you know that, like, one, they're going to register this is what you owed. Two, it's going to register this is what you paid. And so that's kind of like the rule of thumb is wait until the bill is actually like either sent to you via mail or just online. Like, hey, this is the due date.
Your statement balance, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My concern is that, so right now her statement balance is $297 on a $300 limit. So right now, if you don't have any other credit card, she doesn't specify, but if this is your only credit card, you're at 100% almost of utilization, and that will hurt your score. Ideally, you want to be below 30%. One way to do that, so you only have you have a very small limit, and you may max it out a lot. But the trick is to make payments before your statement's due, to eat away at that balance, to keep it at 30% of 300 would be what, $90. So if you charge $150 on the card, go ahead and pay off $50 or $60 today, and leave the $90 on there. Let that be added to your statement balance, and then pay that bill off. That's one way to keep be able to spend more than spend above that 30% utilization rate limit, but not actually have it hurt your score. Does that make sense?
It does, and that's good advice.
I would do that before, because when I got my first credit card, this might be like a student credit card or something. When I got my first Bank of America student card, it was like $300. And I would later max mine out all the time. Of course, I didn't know any better. But later I learned that trick where you make small payments throughout the month and keep it below 30% of your balance, and then let that balance be reflected on your statement. Mm-hmm. And then that'll get reported to the bureaus, and they'll see, okay, oh, you know, Kai's only got a 30% utilization rate. That's great. And we won't ding her for that.
Exactly. So. It's really all about reporting, like figuring out, when are my financial credit choices reported? Once you kind of figure out that, then it makes it easier to make decisions that are going to be in alignment with getting a better score.
Yeah. It feels like bending over backwards to get around these weird credit reporting rules, but
I know it is.
It's crazy. But yeah. So if you have $297 for this month, just paid off in full, I hope you can. Pay off your statement balance in full. Hope you can. And then next month, pay off whatever you need to pay off to keep it below, keep it at least no greater than $90 on your next statement, and you should be in good shape. Okay.
Yep.
So that was from Kai. Thanks, Kai. And the next question is from listener V. V says, "Hey, V. She says, I'm a part-time graduate student, and I only work a part-time job. I make enough money to pay my expenses and have $300 left over after every month after I pay my monthly living expenses according to my budget. I've managed to save $1,000 in a separate savings account, and I don't know what my next savings goal should be. What should I do with the extra $300 a month that I have? I don't want to waste it on food, Jordans, and hair weave."
Oh, hey, V.
Those are the options. Food, Jordans, a hair weave. Can you please help me plan my next new savings goal, V?
So my assumption is that V, does she say that she has a retirement like plan in place?
She does not. She's a part-time graduate student. She's got $1,000 in savings. This is what we know.
Okay. So if you don't have a retirement plan in place, now you do, girl. I would put that money toward that, because that comes first.
Tiffany, how does a part-time graduate student save for retirement if she's only working a part-time job and I'm guessing doesn't have a 401k?
Well, if you don't have a traditional 401k because you're part-time, you can go to your local bank and say, "Hey, boo, I would like to sign up for an IRA, an individual retirement account, or a Roth IRA." Well, it would be a Roth, right? Because Roth is after taxes, right?
Either or, yeah.
Yeah, so you would want to.
It would be, yeah, it'd be an IRA, yeah.
So which is called an individual retirement account, right? So you would sign up for an IRA. You could actually do it online. Like, I know, like, for example, Ally has IRAs. But, you know, if you're not fully comfortable doing that, if you're a millennial, you're likely will do it online. If you're not, if you're an ex, you know, millennial, whatever the heck they call us now, then you're probably going to want to go into your bank and just say, "Hey, I'd like to start to contribute regularly to a retirement account." That is paramount, especially if you are a grad student. If you start now, you're going to be in such great shape when you get a little bit older. So that's what I would do with the extra money, is start to really think about my future, you know, beyond like where you are right now, and putting the money toward that, and sitting down with someone. And even if not sitting down with someone, you know, you could pick. Now they've got all these great tools where you might say, like, for example, I'm pretty sure that Ally has a tool where it's a Roth IRA, and basically they ask you all these questions about yourself personally, and they help you to pick what your retirement money should do and where it should go. So you could do that and just have it automatically transferred there every month. But I would definitely focus on retirement if you're not already. And I suspect if you're young, you likely are not.
And it's nice. I mean, while you're in grad school, maybe your student loans aren't due yet and you can put that money to work for retirement. And then when you're ready to pay your student loans back, you know that you have no problem coming up with $300 to put toward those student loans and maybe diverting that money to student loans until they're paid off, right? Because that's going to be the issue, I think, when she graduates. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like, well, what do I do now, retirement or student loans? And I would say that's a tricky question. It depends on like how much. I know I'm giving her additional questions she didn't ask, but I'm looking into your future. And I'm saying that it may make more sense to be putting as much money as you can toward that debt, depending on what your interest rates are, or like doing half, like putting half toward your student loan bill and then continuing to put half toward your retirement.
That's a good idea.
Do you think, I mean, she doesn't tell us, you know, where she lives or how much her life costs, but do you think $1,000 is enough to have a savings account and be like, and I'm done and I'm good for life? Because it seems low to me.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and so the thing is too, I like your idea of not thinking of the $300 as this lump sum that cannot be separated. So you might say to yourself, okay, of this 300, I'm going to put 100 toward retirement, 100 toward this debt, and 100 toward growing that savings account. You know what I mean? So I think that ask yourself your overall financial goals and how you can, obviously you're not going to separate the 300 into 300 pots, but there you might have that 300 go into two or three or maybe even four different pots that serve your greater goals. Because 1,000 does seem a little low, but it depends. I mean, I don't know where you live, but you know, you're wanting to have, ideally they say you want to have anywhere from like on the super low end, 3 months worth of your life expenses, and on the higher end up to 24 months, 2 years, depending on like what type of life you live. So typically around 6 months to a year of emergency money. So, you know, is $1,000 like at least 3 months? I don't know. It might be. But maybe contributing to that, so that way you have a little bit more of a stash, and you might be like, you know, I don't need to do a whole bunch. Maybe it's just $50 of the 300. But I think that those three things that Mandy and I mentioned, retirement, debt, and savings, that 300 can address those three things. That 300, yeah.
Agreed.
Cool. Okay, V.
All right, V, thanks for your question. And if you guys, again, if you have questions, brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com or brownambitionpodcast.com. You got it. Now you're too fast.
I tried to slip it in there. I was like, oh, .com. Or yeah, go to brownambitionpodcast.com, right? Yep. And click ask us anything. Is that what it says, right?
Ask us anything, yep.
So all I do is win, 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 no matter what. What you gotta win for? So do you have any wins?
I'm gonna make you go first this time.
Ha ha! I have a win that is slightly uncomfortable, but not uncomfortable. So VidCon happened.
More uncomfortable than fibroids?
No, definitely nothing's more uncomfortable than fibroids. Okay. Oh, I will say that. Like, I think I lost my full 20 pounds. I'm good now. I'm not like the weight that I want to be. I'm like, ooh, I'm here. But
oh, congrats.
Right? The veganism is real. I'm actually not going to give it up. I think I'm going to stay. Because I'm like, from what I've heard, the hormones in the meat are not fibroids friends. So they're like, people have been telling me, and my doctor has been telling me, it's actually good that I'm vegan. So anyway, my win, I didn't attend FinCon, and you didn't go this year either, right, Mandy?
I did not.
And so I heard it was awesome. So I was nominated for Plutus Award. And Plutus is like the Emmys for financial like bloggers and writers and stuff like that. And so honestly, I was nominated for an award that I didn't think I should have been nominated for. Like one award, I was like, ooh, that's totally me, which was online community, which y'all Dreamcatchers know. We got that on lock. I didn't win that one, but that's okay. Because who did win was very deserving. But I was also nominated for Best Blog for Women. And I'm not going to lie. I don't blog. I mean, I have a blog, but I was like.
You won Best Blog?
What, Mandy?
What blog?
Exactly. And I'm not going to lie. I feel some kind of way of like, why did you guys give me this award? Like,
who I was feel like this whole thing is rigged now. What are they doing? What?
Because I, like, honestly, I can honestly say, and this is not even the humility of like, oh, no, because honestly, I wanted to win a community award because I feel like I have a dope online community. I felt like I was robbed, but whatever. So this is not false humility at all. But I'm like, when people are like, Tiffany, you won? I was like, yay, the community award. They're like, no, best financial blog for women. I'm like, what category is that? I didn't even know I was in that category. Why did I win that? So, I mean, it's a win, which is nice, but I'm not going to lie. I feel like there are so many amazing financial blogs for women that are awesome blogs. And it feels like, honestly, this is not an award that I can take with pride, because I blog, but like literally what I'm like, it's a blue moon. I think I should write something. But from what I understand, because the true win is that when you're a Plutus Award winner, you get great swag. And so apparently there's an Amazon Echo Dot on my way to its house, and I'm on my way to my house. So that's the true win. Whoop, whoop, free Amazon Echo Dot. So that's my win, that I got an award that I did not deserve, but I did get some amazing swag to go along with it.
We've had Amazon Dot, the Alexa, for like, since last Christmas. I got Enrique one, and it's so pathetic. It's so pathetic how like we have no idea what to do with it. We're just like, tell me the weather and tell me a joke.
Well, Superman is super like into tech stuff, so I'm really curious to see how it's going to work in our house, because I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Husband got the iPhone 10.
Is his making that same error, that eye error or whatever it is?
I don't think so, but I have seen that. I've been getting messages from some people. I think it's not just it's not the new iPhones. It's like the new iOS update.
Okay.
Right? Or I don't know. I don't know about it. But I saw, yeah, I got some weird text from some people where, like, if you write the letter I, it turns into, like, an A.
Yeah,
like
in a box. Yeah.
Like a question mark box thingy.
Yeah.
I will say, I want to give a boost to, I'm really messing this up, aren't I? My boost is going to be, my win is going to be for employees who raise their hand and ask for a one-on-one feedback session with their managers, because one of my direct reports recently did that to me, and I was like they tell you to do this, but I don't feel like people really ever do it, and I thought that it was really, really smart of her to do that, because I've been so overwhelmed lately. I really haven't had time to sit down and do the one-on-one feedback session with people. And if she had waited and gotten bitter about not ever getting feedback and not ever hearing how she's doing, that it just would have made her it would have made her feel bad and would have made her like feel bitter about working here possibly. But the fact that she like raised her hand and even asked for a review, I thought was really great. And that's something that I used to do with sometimes success, sometimes not success at my prior jobs. And I just think that's a great tip for anyone who. It's like it's the end of the year. You're feeling like, you know, you may be up for a raise or you want that promotion, but like your boss hasn't swept into the office and rolled out the red carpet and invited you for a sit down chat. Like it's completely within your power to ask your boss to have a chat of your own and to take that time to tell them what you want and like what you're feeling like you deserve and what you want more from the job and all that. And this is the time to do it.
That's awesome. Look at her. Is she young?
She's mid, well, I don't know her age. Mid-20s? Semi, not super rookie, but I don't know. And like while I'm talking about the office, you know, we've really expanded. Like a year ago when I joined Magnify Money, it was like, what, two people? And now there's like a full office, and I've never been this close to the beginning of something to see it grow this quickly, and well, not quickly, but to see it grow. And it's just been really, awesome to have new people coming on board, and our office is really diverse. It's literally like half women, half men, and there's people from different countries and different backgrounds and different ages. And it's exactly the kind of place that I like to, like the type of people I like to be around. And I'm really happy with where we're going.
Oh, look at Magnify, baby Magnify Money. I remember, I met Nick on the night, like you and I were at like a panel, I think it was American Express or whatever. And that night at that panel, is when I met Nick. Did you meet him that day too?
I don't remember. FinCon. Yeah. I think maybe in person for the first time.
Not FinCon. Remember you came to Newark like for this American Express panel?
Oh, whoa,
he was there.
Yes, I remember.
He was there in the crowd, and he asked a really great question or something like that, and I remember like I connected with him there. I was like, I like him. I remember thinking he was so different from any of the personal finance people. Well, yeah. I mean, to be all the way transparent, like from any of like the white guys in personal finance, because like the brown people are more typically community focused, but like I didn't really meet white guys who were in personal finance that were like, I'm here for the people. So it struck me. I remember being like, what? You're here for the people? Who are you, sir? And then like really, you know, like exploring Magnify Money and being like, this is amazing. And he has never disappointed me, aside from the fact that, you know, y'all still owe me money, but whatever, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, well, other than that, like, yeah, Nick is amazing. The company that he's built with this amazing team, you guys are all like, I really love Magnify Money. It is probably like when I look at my underutilized blog and I look at my what are those things called? Analytics. Magnify Money is the number one site that people leave my blog for, because that's how much I refer you guys. Yeah, like I was just like, because it's just such an awesome resource and tool, and people thank me all the time, like, thank you so much for Magnify Money. It's easy to navigate, it's trustworthy, and you know, I don't know, you guys are just awesome.
Well, thanks, we try.
You're welcome.
Ooh, I just got a big fat check from eBay. Speaking of which, before we say goodbye, my mother was like, when did Tiffany start doing Ebates commercials? She finally saw one of your Ebates ads.
I love your mom. When your mom and sister were dancing, I was like, oh, I want to get in. I want to dance at your wedding.
I'm glad.
Yes. So, yeah, that commercial is doing really well. I'm not going to lie. I kind of feel some kind of way that I didn't ask for money, because I was just so excited to be in the commercial. And I kind of asked for it offhandedly. I was like, if y'all ever do a commercial, I'd love to be in it. When I was talking with my partner there at Ebates, and when they were like, we'll fly you out, you know, but it's not likely that you'll make it. But as far as like you being a great partner, this is kind of like our, hey girl, hey, thanks so much. So I was excited, craft food, and I was able to bring Drina, and they were like, you know, it's likely not going to make it on air. And I said, okay. And if it is, it's going to be a group commercial. And then, I don't know, they decided to do a 15-second spot, and now it's like their number one converting commercial. And I'm like, where's my check?
Girl, you know you make bank off those affiliate links.
I know, but yeah, I do. But still, I was like, wow, I need to, yeah, so now I know better. So now I'm like, Ebates, you want my face back on that commercial? You want another commercial, Ebates? It's going to cost you. No, honestly, I love Ebates. It's another, it's like a Magnify Money, that it's one of the few brands and businesses that it's a win-win that I've shared, and I've never had a moment's pause of like, is this a good business? Ebates is awesome.
There's,
I mean,
no,
you can't beat
way
it.
You lose. Like, they just no give way. You money for shopping. Like, yeah, I just made $30 and I didn't do a damn thing. Like,
exactly. It's Ebates is honestly, if you're not using Ebates, I don't know what you're doing. Like, if this is not, they're not paying me to say this. Oh, we should get them to be a sponsor. Let me reach out to them. But anyway,
sure. Yeah, I always add the extension to my browser, so it doesn't even matter where I am. It just pops up. Yep. Let me withhold my plug before they start paying for advertising.
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't go click yet. Don't click yet. Wait for our affiliate link.
Yeah, let's get us a link.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.